you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Also reading from Revelation 19, verse 8. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. And those of you that were tuned in last Friday, you heard a new visitor for our Bible study, our open live discussion with Pastor Jason Schiffo, as we've been talking about Who Am I? A series of looking at biblical narratives and finding ourselves in those stories and such. Well, you heard somebody read part of the text that Jason wanted to share on, and that was Jennifer Garan. And she's back today to share a story that she wrote. It was like 41 years ago or something.
Yes.
And so, Jennifer, we kind of did this spontaneously where I said, we want to have you back for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends and have you read your story, but paint some of the background on how it came to be and then how recently you were told by some friends, you need to get this recorded, you need to put this into a book. And so take us through the process. And then as I'm layering about 10 things for you to do, and then tell a little of your faith journey so our listeners can get to know who Jennifer is.
Well, 41 years ago, my husband William and I went to northeastern Brazil to an area in Pernambuco State, Recife, and we were doing some end-use research for Empty Tomb. We had been sending money over there for building cisterns for clean water, and we also had a friend who was working with the Mennonite Central Committee. Her name at that time was Deborah Southern. And she needed some visitors. She was needing a little encouragement. So we went over there, and we looked at the projects, made sure that they were going okay, spent some time with Deb, and had a really good time of fellowship and helping her to feel more positive about the situation she was in. She was living in the favela at the time, which in Portuguese means slum, and so she was really living the life with the people. But one of the things that impressed me so much was that my husband had a soil science degree, and he was very interested in learning more about subsistence farming. In northeast Brazil, they suffer a lot of droughts and wanted to share ways that these farmers could more effectively raise their crops, vegetables especially, and be able to have a sustenance for their family. It's called the migration, and what I saw was a very sad kind of cultural movement where the farmers, you know, they wouldn't be able to get enough food for their family to survive. So they would go into the city hoping for better work, more pay, that kind of thing, with hope. And they wouldn't find, most of them would not find what they were looking for. And this sent many of them into alcoholism. Then the mother and children would follow, and she would find a very broken husband, and they would need to support things, and a lot of the women went into prostitution, and I just saw the families fall apart, and it was heartbreaking. So when I came back, I wrote this story where I imagined a different outcome for these rural families, and I was hoping for their unity and their preservation. as opposed to going into the city to find the finer things. And so that's what inspired this.
And Jennifer, I know you through our conversational English classes where you taught and were a favorite of many. When is Jennifer going to do the next series, or what's the topic she's going to cover this week? Or when we allowed the students to pick out the teachers, your class would always fill first. I know you from the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. I don't know, we seem like we've hung around the same circles over the years. We've seen each other at Christian events and gatherings and have appreciated your gifts of expression through drama, through leading drama or overseeing dramas. You did that one person for our international students. I can't remember what that was called.
That was Ellen Craft. And what I would do, my friend Doug Peterson, who wrote historical fiction, he asked me to write a couple monologues. And so when he did his book tours and things, as part of his presentation, I would do a monologue of one of the characters in his book.
And what else would you like the listener to know about you? You're a follower of Jesus. When I introduced you to our group on Friday this last week, when you were a part of our discussion, when we talked about who am I, looking at Jesus healing a paralytic, and you just said, I'm just a follower of Jesus, or I'm a follower of Jesus, but give a little more of a background of who you are in Christ.
I'm just a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you have some children.
Oh, okay, you live locally.
Yes, okay.
So I accepted the Lord. I got baptized on Thanksgiving 1977, and I certainly had a born-again experience, and I feel in no uncertain way that my relationship with Christ saved my life. I had a pretty rugged background, and I met my first husband, who has since passed away from cancer. I met him at New Covenant Fellowship, and we got married and had three beautiful sons. And at this point, I have 9 grandchildren, and I am remarried now to a man named Cecil Billingsley.
And that was exciting for all of us to walk through and see developing, and he's got a heart for serving and has coordinated a lot of activities to help and assist in a variety of ways.
Right, and the nice thing about it was is that my first husband, Bill, knew Cecil, and they had worked together at Empty Tomb, and my one son had done an internship with Cecil during the summer because he's in woodworking and construction. And so he wasn't a stranger to our family, and that was really nice.
Yeah, how God put that all together.
He was to me. I didn't know him until later, but yeah.
And you mentioned your three sons, and part of what you're going to read, you're thinking about putting in a book with your own illustrations and such, and to really give them something to look at and read and know about their dad and some of the unique missionary work that you were doing.
That's right. And what's interesting, too, is that now I wrote this before I had children, 41 years ago. Okay, so when I revisited this script, I did change the first line from a mother had two sons to a mother had three sons.
Yes.
The Finest Things, A Story of Northeastern Brazil by Jennifer L. Graham. A mother had three sons, three finer sons no one could find. And like all mothers, she wished to give the best to these, her three sons. She desired for them to have a fine house and fine clothes and good work. She wished for them to be happy and prosperous and satisfied. But times were hard in the valley, and much work brought little money. And with little money came no fine things. The father of the sons had gone to be with his Creator when they were still growing tall. A kindly man who sowed seed in the soil, he had gleaned much respect from the people in the valley. Even when times were hardest and the earth was dry and unforgiving, the father would open the book and read aloud to his wife and three sons his most favored scripture. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. These were the robes they were to long for, he had said. And the fine linen for the robes of the saints were to be made of the righteous deeds of the people. The people in the valley had been very generous to the mother and her three sons. Since the death of the father, The neighbors had watched carefully over them as they worked the soil that yielded their food. The mother also did fine needlework, creating a special kind of lace for which their region was known. This brought them more income, but the mother always felt that her sons had second best, and for them she desired finer things. Soon they would leave her to go to the city. In the city, at least, they could find good work. But she could not send them off without some fine clothes, sturdy leather boots, pants of the kind that last, and brightly colored shirts. They must have these at least, she said to herself. And for these clothes she worked day and night. At last she had saved enough money for the sturdy leather boots, and early one morning she began her long walk to the city full of fine things. She could not imagine all the boots from which she would be able to choose. To put these boots on the feet of her three sons would give her much pleasure. As she walked on, she heard the sounds of suffering coming from a solitary hut. She approached the small hut, and there she found people full of grief. Her heart grew with compassion, and she asked what was the reason for the sorrow. She was told the mother of this house has a daughter who is dying. A finer daughter you could not find. Like all mothers, she wished to give the very best medicine to this, her only daughter. But the medicine was expensive, and times were hard in the valley. Much work brought little money. At least I have three sons, the mother thought. They are healthy and able to do work that is hard. This mother may lose her only daughter. So she gave the money for the sturdy leather boots to the mother of the only daughter. For this, she had worked day and night. On her return, her three sons asked about her absence. She said simply, I dress you in compassion, for we must be sure that the robes will fit. It took the mother a long time to save money for the pants, pants of the kind that last. But when she had collected enough, her joy was complete and the way to the city seemed short. She took a different route to the city this time, for she had to admit to some superstition. She was afraid that if she traveled the same road, she once again might meet someone who needed the money more than she. She glanced back at the valley and saw her three fine sons working hard in the field. To present these pants to her sons would give her much pleasure indeed. By mid-afternoon, she arrived in the city. Perhaps she had never come into the city by this route. Yes, that was it. She was unfamiliar with this side of the city. There was no market full of booths that had fine things. This side of the city was full of misery, a kind of misery she had never before seen. People were crowded together in shacks made of cardboard and tin and scrap wood. There was sewage and garbage everywhere. Seeking to find how to reach the part of the city with fine things, she approached a boy sitting on a plank of wood with wheels. But as she got closer, she realized he could not walk, and his legs were misshapen. The mother quickly turned to go, for she was sorry she had approached him. But the boy had felt her eyes on him and scooted over to her feet and touched her ankles. The boy asked her to have mercy on him. He was the only son of his mother, and his mother was ill. A finer mother you could not find, and he had to care for her. But times were hard in the city, and there was little money and no work. Would she please have mercy on him and his mother? At least my sons have legs that walk, the mother thought. And I am not ill. I am well. But these people need money just for food. So she gave him the money for the pants, pants of the kind that last. For this, she had worked day and night. The mother returned, tired and worn. Evening was approaching, and her three sons had worried. As they inquired about her absence, she said, I dress you in mercy. We must be sure that the robes will fit. The mother still had a desire for finer things for her three sons, but it was with some fear and sadness that she set off for the city for the last time. The brightly colored shirts. Was this too much to ask for? Her sons, fine, hard-working boys, deserved at least these. The mother took the first route, the route that she knew went into the part of the city with fine things. Into a booth with brightly colored shirts. Yes, she was here amongst the brightly colored shirts. Which ones shall she choose? Oh, they were all so handsome, so beautiful, and so fine. I will take these three, she said as she handed the vendor her money. I will take your money, said a man beside the vendor, a man who pulled out a gun, a thief. For this she had worked day and night. The mother wept. She wept angry tears, tears of shame. She had three fine sons, and they deserved finer things. But now she had nothing to give. She hated that man with the gun who stole her money. Who was he, anyway, to come in and take away the brightly colored shirts from my three fine sons? A man full of fear, confusion, and greed, was the answer that came to her. At least my sons and I are happy. At least we have neighbors who care for us. The mother walked slowly home. She approached the valley, and in the distance could see her three fine sons. They also saw her and came running to greet her, inquiring as to her absence. She could hardly hold back the tears as she looked upon her sons. Sons with faces full of weather and hands that spoke of hard work. Fine, handsome sons indeed. Would she ever be able to provide them with fine things? She thought hopelessly. Then she spoke words that seemed to be not her own. I dress you in forgiveness, she said. The sons looked at their mother and were thankful. We have decided not to go to the city, said one of her sons. We've seen the city, and we have no desire for those finer kinds of things. We love this valley, even though times are hard, said another. And the third one added, but we are hard workers, and this is our home. Their father would be pleased. Yes, he would be pleased, she thought, as she slipped her arms into theirs, and they began walking together back down into the valley. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. The mother stopped briefly, and squeezing the hands of her three fine sons, she whispered, "The robes fit." For this, she had worked day and night.
I want to kind of say bravo, bravo, but I don't want to lessen or diminish how powerful these are. In fact, I was writing words down: community, teamwork, hard work, savings, compassion, mercy, generosity, happiness, contentment, provision, just some of the things that I gleaned from the story. And I like how you took a situation and thought, how would I love God to work through it or be involved or change the outcome through circumstances of Christ followers, people that love Jesus, interceding, assisting, helping, building that community around her, and the fact that she looked at what she wanted and dreamed toward and worked hard at, and yet then was sacrificially giving. And in our closing minute or two, Jennifer, I know you read this the other night to a friend. You mentioned that on the front side of this program. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. But you're going to be writing a book, and so you're really open to how God would use this story and your circumstances, whether it's a book form or a blogging or different things, as God would lead. But I appreciate that. after coming this past Friday and being a part of our live broadcast with Pastor Jason and such, I got you back in here to share that. It's a beautiful story. And if your prayers were going to be answered of God, how would you like to see this story used, or how would you hope that he could use what you're going to put together?
Well, so initially, of course, I didn't even think in terms of audio and, you know, web pages. I'm a dinosaur, and yeah. All I thought of was a paper book that you read.
Yeah.
And I recently have rediscovered my ability to do art, and so I saw what's really a children's book, but obviously something that adults can appreciate as well, with my illustrations, my husband's photographs, my late husband's photographs, and giving it as gifts to people. And then somebody suggested, well, you know, the audio version. And then I guess what I always thought was I would love to, after I recoup the costs, if people were interested in purchasing it, to reconnect with the organization that was reaching out to these subsistence farmers and dedicate any kind of profits to that organization.
Yeah, Dr. David Webb, through his series of books, you'll see the bundle of four over here. All the proceeds from that go to an orphanage in Africa, and how he continues to support them. So we'll be praying you up in the days ahead. And thank you for carving out time, sharing a little of your faith journey. I know we had you on some years ago. You've been a part of the community at large, serving the cause of Christ in a variety of ways. And give our best to Cecil, and we'll be praying up this book or the audio recording or your blogging or whatever.
Yeah. God's in charge here, so I just have to see what he wants to do.
Well, we're excited to be a part of that. And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or wanted to know more, are you ready to give out a website or a phone number or anything?
I can give my email.
Okay, your email. That'll be good.
Are you ready for this Hotmail email?
Sure, okay.
J-L, as in Lynn, Goran, G-O-R-A-N, at hotmail.com.
Okay. And we'll have that in case you couldn't write it down. You're driving to work or running errands. J-L-G-O-R-A-N at hotmail.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Jennifer Goran with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.